13 and verse 5. Okay. During my preaching, I'm going to stop and ask you what the point was I just preached. That's right. That's this morning's message. And so I would encourage you to ask the person next to you to elbow you in the ribs when you get drowsy. This fourth row back here had some drowsy eyes this morning. We won't mention any names. Because no one Jordan. 13 and verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their abundance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. And if thou wilt take the left hand, then I'll go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. This afternoon, I want to speak to you about this Old Testament person by the name of Lot. His life weighs heavy upon our society and upon me as I think about our world, because much of our world has the mindset of Lot. As in the days of Lot, we live in a very sensual society. On a daily basis, people make decisions thinking only what will gratify their physical appetites. Many of the choices that are made never look beyond the here and the now. And we have a philosophy and a generation today that has the philosophy that if it feels good, do it. Many times over, life's choices are made with the physical body and the physical results rather than with the spiritual mind. Our value systems in America have been watered down. We're weighing the barrage of Satan in dumbing down men and women's conviction of right and wrong. They make choices for the moment and never consider the consequences of tomorrow. And so I want to, this afternoon, point to you about this man's life, the choices that he made. We want to particularly examine the journey that took him to these choices and then the results of those choices. But before we get into the choice that he made, the well-watered plains of Jordan, let's just examine this man, Lot. Lot was a man whom God blessed. He was a saved man. Peter tells us that God vexed his righteous soul. And so we know that God saw him as a righteous person. And we know that our own righteousness is not enough. Our own righteousness is as filthy rags. And so we know that he had the imputed righteousness of God. And the Bible says, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. And so he was blessed in knowing God as his Savior. He was a saved man. He was also blessed by following the man that God blessed. God had promised Abraham, "And I will make of thee a great nation. I'll bless thee that make thy name great, and shall be a blessing." And so in Mesopotamia, Lot made the decision to leave Haran and to go with the man who God was blessing. When you see a man who has the hand of God upon him, a man whom God is blessing, you cannot go wrong by imitating the godly principles that he has. We're not saying that Abraham was perfect. We know that he wasn't. But those godly principles he had, Lot had the choice and an ability to see that and follow with him. And as Abraham was blessed, the overflow came into Lot's life, and he was blessed. Immediately after the separation from his uncle Abraham in 1311, where he chose the well-watered plains, he starts down a different road. We find there in verse 5 of 13 that he has flocks and herds and tents, and so we see that he is blessed financially. But if you flip with me over to chapter 19, in chapter 19 of Genesis, and look at verse 29 through 38. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain, and God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, "Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, and we will preserve seed of our father." And they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she laid down or when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, "Behold, I lay yesterday with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, and we may be preserved seed of our father." And they made their father drink wine that night, and the younger arose and lay with him, and perceived not when she lay down or when she arose. And thus both the daughters of Lot were with child of their father. Well, here's a man of great wealth. He had great herds and great flocks and great tents, plural. Now he's living in a cave. All of his wealth is gone, and his daughters have an incestuous relationship with Lot. And so that ought to call upon us this afternoon to examine. Here's a saved man. A saved man who went from a position of blessing and wealth to a position of total loss and degradation. Even fathering children by his own daughters, whose sons of those daughters become the thorn and the enemy in Israel's side and fighting them. And so the steps of the journey from the point of prosperity to the cave. First of all, he lifted up his eyes and beheld. There in our text in chapter 13 and verse 10, it says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan. Instead of bowing his head and praying, he lifted up his eyes and beheld." He is walking by sight and not by faith. As Eve looked upon the fruit and Achan looked upon the precious metals in the Babylonian garment, Lot looked upon the land before him. And I've pointed out here in preaching in the past that when Lot gave him the choice, or Abraham gave him the choice, he says there in verse 9, "Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou take the left, then I'll take the right. If you take the right, then I'll take the left." But he didn't actually say, "You take what's, if you want to take what's in front of us, or you want to take what's behind us." And maybe too much made of this, but I personally don't believe that Abraham wanted to give him the choice to take what be held in front of him, the well-watered place, because he knew of the mindset of those people. As a result of that choice, he separates from Abraham in verse 11, and they separate themselves from one from another. He goes and he dwells in the cities of the plain in verse 12, and Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain. And then he took another step, and he pitched his tent towards being able to look over into Sodom. And so he goes from pitching his tent to chapter 14 and verse 12, and Lot, and they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, and who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. That Lot moves into Sodom. He becomes one of the very leaders in Sodom. If you go to Genesis chapter 19 and verse 1, and there came two angels of Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. What would happen in those days is the walls would be very thick and very broad, and in the walls they would set office buildings, and those who sat by the gate and in those office buildings were the leaders of the city. It was like City Hall there inside the walls of the city. And so he's become a leader in that town. He's making judgment. He's at the city council meetings, if you will. And then in chapter 19 and verse 7, you see that when the angels come, and Lot's warning them, but in 19 and verse 7, Lot, verse 6 and 7, Lot went out the door unto them and shut the door after them. These are men who are trying to get in to have homosexual relationships with these angels who appear as men. And Lot said, look at what Lot says, and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." So here the man of God, the saved man, the righteous man, has come to the place where he's calling these homosexual perverts his brothers. Okay, now, here's where you need to pay attention, because I'm going to ask you these points. Point number one, we're going to find out, how did he get here? What was the journey? The first point is this. Lot failed to realize the power of making a wrong choice. 13:9 tells us that the whole land is before thee. And he lifted up his eyes, verse 10 tells us. Lot is at a crossroad in his life. Lot is at a place where he has to make a decision. He's got to make a choice. In our lives, we make choices. We may make choices to move, make choices to pursue a certain career, make choices to change jobs, make choices about everything. Life is full of choices. But when we make choices, we need to realize that there are power and effects and results and overflow from those choices. Whether he realized it or not, the decision that he was about to make would change his life forever. Choices have the ability to change our lives. And it's going to change his life forever. What should Lot have done? Well, he should have repented of the fact that his sheepmen and cattlemen were striving with Abraham's. He should have asked Abraham to forgive him. He should have asked Abraham if he could stay, because we didn't want to separate, we'd be brethren. He should have said, "Uncle Abraham, my life with you and following you, I've been blessed because you've been blessed." He should have said, "Abraham, I know that the covenant of God's upon your life," as we studied this morning in Sunday school, and I, no matter what happens. He should have said, as Ruth said, that my God will be, your God will be my God. And he should have realized in those choices. It may on the surface seem only a good business decision, good grass, good meadows down there, the best grazing. But this choice of whether to choose where he's going to take his cows and his flocks involved much more than that. He has not simply chosen where he's going to build his house and graze his flocks, but he has chosen where he's going to build his family. You understand that? He has some choices to make. He had decided where he would spend the rest of his life. He decided where he's going to raise his children. In this choice, he decided what kind of people was going to be his children's friends. He's decided what kind of people his children are going to marry. And you fathers this afternoon need to clearly understand that choices will affect you and yours. It affected Lot's family dramatically. So number one, write this down. I want to call upon you. Number one, he failed to realize the power of choices. Number two, Lot went from great flocks and wealth to living in a cave in an incestuous relationship because he failed to have time with God. When you read about Lot, you realize that he had flocks and he had herds and he had tents. But there's one thing he didn't have that Abraham had. Lot had no altar. You'll never find in the chapters with Lot and Abraham, you'll never find that Lot had an altar. Over and over and over again, it mentions Abraham and his altar. The Bible says in 12:7, the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto, thy seed, will I give this land? And there builded he an altar. In 12:8, he moved over to Bethel and he built an altar. In 13:4, he went unto the place where his altar was at first and built an altar. In 13:18, he built an altar. In 22:9, he built an altar. Lot is not mentioned with altars. Lot never had a time with God. Instead of lifting up his eyes to heaven at this very critical time when he's got a choice to make, he lifted up his eyes and looked at the plain of Jordan. You see, the eyes see what the heart desires. The Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. Lay for yourselves up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. What he treasured was what his eyes saw. He never had an altar. And listen, it's altar experiences that really make the man of God. That God brings us to some points in our lives where we have to go before him as Abraham did. He's camped between Bethel and Ai, the house of God, the place of ruin. And he gives the altar. He sacrifices at the altar. He gives up his will. You see, it's altar experiences that help us determine the will of God. I want to make sure you understand this. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, altar experiences help us determine and make choices in the will of God. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. We're talking about offering up sacrifices. We're talking about altar experiences. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. At the altar experiences, our mind is removed, that ye may prove, that ye may test, that ye may try, you may understand What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? What Lot needed at this point in time, he needed to know what was the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And you must understand here in this passage that it's associated with an altar scene. When we make decisions for our lives and we make choices and we've not been maintaining our altar, it's not a strange thing that we make wrong choices. God determines some things through those altar experiences. And so number one, Lot did what? Choices are the importance of choices. Number two, he failed to maintain a relationship with God. All right. Number three, Lot was worldly in his desires. Failing to realize the power of making wrong choices and failing to maintain an altar, Lot was worldly in his desires. Look in chapter 13 again and verse 10. 13 and 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan that was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. Those words, like the land of Egypt, are they important? Well, Egypt was south, wasn't it? We already studied about Abraham going south. He went down there and he lied. And just to get back to that, you know, probably Lot went down there too and he saw Abraham at his worst. But what Lot did see when he was in Egypt, he saw worldliness. He saw the riches of Egypt. He saw the lure of Egypt. He had tasted the world in Egypt. And it seemed like he never could shake it from himself. Lot had a desire for profit, failing to realize that the love of money is the root of all evil, which some have coveted after, have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. He wanted to wear water planes because it's going to be profitable. In Egypt, no doubt, Lot had a desire for pleasure. And no doubt, it was a very exciting day for Lot and his wife and his children when Daddy went over and he checked out the housing in that metropolitan city of Sodom. And they went and bought this house. And they move in, new house, new place, new families next door. Exciting, exciting, exciting. But he failed to realize that in God's economy, to go up, you must first go down in humility. He failed to realize that the greatest in this life is a servant of all. And so, number one, Lot didn't realize the power of choices. Do you? I know some things are just, you know, when the little symbol of a gas distributor, what do you call those things? Gas pump, come on my car, then I know I have a choice to make. Get gas or walk. Some things are just common sense. But some choices are important. And maybe I'm too extreme, but, you know, I didn't have a lot of money when I was a missionary, and I didn't even pray about what kind of shoes to buy and pray God would lead me to some good choices. And God has. And I don't think you can ever go wrong by running things by God. Choices, the power of choices, they'll affect you. And this seems so simple. This seems so logical. You know, sometimes we make choices just out of logic. Let's examine how this works in the religious economy of God. We have Jericho that needs to be conquered. And so Joshua sits down and he gets a piece of paper and he lists all the positive things and all the negative things. And he said, well, it's really got a big wall around it. They got well-trained soldiers. Their armament is better than ours. They've lived here. They set themselves in. We got an army that's never been trained. We got a bunch of yokels in this army. And he can list all those things and come to the decision, I don't think we'll go into Jericho today. You better watch making decisions on what seems to be logical. Now let me say the flip side of that, God gave you a brain to use, but he also gave you a heart to trust the Lord. So he desired the world. He wanted to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And fourthly, he ignored the warnings of God. He failed to realize the power of wrong decisions. He failed to maintain an altar. He failed to weed Egypt out of his life. And he ignored the warnings of God. Look in chapter 14. In chapter 14, in verse 8, and there went out the kings of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admon, and the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, the same as Zoar, and they joined battle with them at the Valley of Siddim. And so there's these. If you go back up to chapter 14 and verse 4, it just lists a number of people from the north who are coming down, and they're going to conquer and try to conquer Sodom and Gomorrah and take over that area. And these different kings from these different cities go out to fight them. And it says, with Shilmar, the king of Elam, and with Tidal, king of the nations, and Amraphel, the king of Shinar, and Arioch, the king of Elazar, four kings with five. And the village of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the king of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and the remain fled to the mountains. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And so the kings of the Sodom and Gomorrah area, they get whipped. They get whipped big time. And they go into the city and they take what they want. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And so they captured Lot. Remember, this is a saved man. This is a saved man living in the wrong place. And now this saved man, an army has invaded them. They went through his house. They went and looked at his flocks. They took what they wanted, and they say, hey, you're going with this. What do you think God's trying to do? He's trying to say, Lot, wake up! God is warning him. God is saying, listen, you're not the master of your own life. You can be captured at any moment. I mean, logically, if that happened to us, the righteous man ought to go to God and say, what is happening, God? Forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for my wrong choices. Lord, help me. Get me out of this. We have no record of Lot praying at all. But we do have a record of a man named Abraham who loved Lot. And he said, I'm going to go get him. He's still my nephew. I'm going to go get him. And with 318 men is all, he asked God about it. And God says, go. And he goes. And with 318 men, he defeats these guys. What all of the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah and all those other ones, Zoar, couldn't do. And he delivers Lot. And when he gets back, when he comes back with all the possessions, he gives part of those possessions and worships, and he gives it to this guy named Melchizedek, who is the priest of the Most High God, the king of Salem. And so Lot sees Abraham when he comes back worshiping God. He sees him offering These sayings to the priest of God, Melchizedek. And then the king of Sodom comes along and says, Hey, Abraham, you've rescued us, you've delivered us, you defeated these kings. Let me give you some stuff. Let me give you some stuff for helping us out. And Abraham says, I don't want any junk that's tainted with Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot saw all that, you know that? He saw that. He saw Abraham sacrificed and give to the priest of God. He saw Abraham said, I don't want nothing to do with what's touched the hands of the king of Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know what Lot did? He went right back into Sodom and Gomorrah and lived there. And sometimes we can be so stupid, can't we? And even above all that, the Bible tells us that day after day after day after day, God vexed him and said, get out of here. Lot, get out of here. Lot, get out of here. How did he get to the cave? Failed to realize the importance of choices. Number two, he didn't have an altar in his life. Number three, he enjoyed the pleasures of Egypt and wanted those. Number four, he ignored the warnings of God. What did he lose? Well, go to chapter 19. Let's look at verse 15. And when the morning rose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And when he lingered... I mean, he's been taken in by the world greatly. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Why did God do that? Let me ask you that. Well, that's part of it. But remember when Abraham had a little prayer session with the angels and he kept bargaining, will you destroy it for 50? Will you destroy it for 10? Lot really didn't even want to leave it now, and the angels yanked him out. Why? Because God's going to answer Abraham's prayer. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. He's wanting to escape to the mountains. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near unto thee, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. You know what he's saying? It's just a little compromise. It's not a big compromise. I know that Sodom was a big compromise, but Zoar's just a little compromise. But let me tell you, after he sees Sodom burn, he says, I'm going to go to the mountain. Verse 23, the sun was risen upon the earth, and Lot entered into Zoar, and the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city that grew upon the ground. And his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Well, he lost his wife. He's going to lose some children that stayed in Sodom and Gomorrah. He lost his natural affection. Romans chapter 1 tells the historical account of going into degradation, and it tells us there that how that the road of the world rejects God and goes further and further into the cesspool of sin. Look over in Romans 1. Look in verse 24. He says, who changed the truth of God, Romans 1, 24, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever, amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use in that which is against nature, and likewise also men leaving the natural use of the woman burning their lust one toward another. Men with men working that was unseen and receiving in themselves a recompense of their error that was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful. And I'm focusing on that without natural affection because I want you to turn back to Genesis 19. And I want you to see verse 6 of Genesis 19. Well, let's look in verse 4. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around, both old and young, and all the people from every quarter. And they called on Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. A sexual reference. And Lot went out the door unto them and shut the door after him. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man, the virgins. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you. And do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only do unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Without natural affection. Now, let's put our brain in gear. Here's a man that's saved. God vexed his righteous soul daily. So these men come over to Chris's house, knock on the door. They want to do some evil things. Said, I got a virgin daughter, Sarah. You can have her. Do anything you want with her. He wouldn't be worth shooting, would he? You know what brought Abraham to this place? He didn't consider the consequences of choices. Without natural affection. What did it do to him? He lost his property. He lost his wife and children. He lost his morals. He lost a sense of what is right and what is wrong. And you can say, well, we would never do that, Pastor. If you make the wrong choices, it can take you some places where you never think you would have ever gone. And then, chapter 19 and verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, but the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. You know what? He lost his testimony. He lost his testimony. He had no testimony. And he lost his peace with God, didn't he? God vexed his righteous soul daily. So what is it that you can take home tonight, this afternoon? Well, realize the effects of choices. Realize the importance of the altar. That you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When you get ready to make a decision, you better make sure that you've been at the altar. Because you know, there's something about the altar. The altar will result in altering your life. You better understand that it's hard to weed out Egypt once you've been in it. And boy, If God has given you a spanking, when God has warned you, when God has showed Lot what could happen and he got captured and carried away, I understand that that's the mercy of God trying to say, let's turn around, let's make a turn here, and let's get back in the will of God. He didn't. And he lost his wealth. He lost his wife. He lost his daughters and son-in-laws. He lost his testimony. He lost his joy. He lost his peace. So where are you? Is God on the throne? Are you just willing and dealing and making your own decisions? God is merciful, and sometimes God allows us to go back to Bethel. But choices. So important. Are you with me? You still awake? All right. Let's pray. Father, this afternoon we acknowledge with Solomon that we don't know how to go in and come out, and that we need your guidance and direction and leadership upon our lives. Help us, Lord, to make wise decisions. Help us, Lord, to maintain our altars. And these, your people who sat here today, we know that not at this very moment, that within the days ahead of them, that there'll be some times to make choices. May, Lord, they maintain their altars. May those altars alter their life and bring them in compliance with your will. Thank you, Lord, for the day that you've given us. Pray you be with those that go on to the Pioneer's Home. May it be a special blessing to those that are residents there. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're dismissed.